Well, we do welcome you to Thompsonville, Illinois, to the 3ABN Worship Center, and to this Anchor of Truth series. And this one is being directed by our speaker and pastor of this church, John Lomacane. And John is ready for us to listen and as he presents a series on unclean spirits. This really came out of a live that we did not too long ago, where Yvonne Lewis, Dr. Lewis, Danny Shelton, and CA, and John, and several of us were discussing the New Age movement. We were talking about all of the diversive things that are taking place. We were talking about how people are being deceived. And John had a great deal of information to share, particularly on the entertainment industry and how our young people and older people alike are being brainwashed. When we listened for just a little bit to some of the things that John had, we asked him, would you present a series on this subject? The subject is named Unclean Spirits. And he will be talking about how these spirits are being used by the entertainment industry and even sometimes by some religious figures to bring about a subtle diversion of truth. Now, I believe with all my heart that God has anointed Pastor Lomacane. He's has a wonderful ministry at 3ABN, pastors this church, but he and his lovely wife are also ambassadors of goodwill for 3ABN throughout the world, and we appreciate their ministry so very much. And tonight, we're going to give him the remainder of the time that we have in this hour, and we are going to prayerfully go to the throne of grace at this time and ask for the Holy Spirit to be in charge of all that is done here tonight. Father in heaven, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you, Father, that he died upon the cross. We thank you, Lord, that he has been victorious over the devil and over all of his angels. And Father, we know that the devil continues to try to deceive us. But we know that if we rely upon the Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us, the Bible has promised that he will lead us into all truth. Father, tonight we pray that you will take charge of our lives. We turn them over to you, and we ask you to speak to us through your servant, Pastor John Lomacane. Thank you, Father. We really love this man and his wife, Angie, and the ministry that they bring to us. And we pray that you will anoint him again this evening. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, our God, and our Savior. Amen. Pastor John.
Thank you, Jim. Good evening, everyone. And good evening to those of you who are joining us on 3ABN television, or maybe on Dish Network, or maybe on 3ABN Radio, or maybe via the internet, or maybe some other media source. We thank you for tuning in tonight. I'm going to begin by taking a deep breath. Just so that my mind could stop running, I have been sequestered for days on end, just praying and studying and putting my thoughts together. And as I said to Pastor C.A., I said to Danny and also to Jim, my only problem is what to leave out. And I believe that in the course of the next four more nights, we'll be able to, I believe, do more than justice to the topic of how Satan is so masterfully hiding his tactics to deceive not just the world, which he has already deceived, but how he's masking his tactics to even draw in Christians in the last days. So I want to really impress upon you to pray continually. And for those of you watching, invite your friends. If you have the chance to record it and share it with other people. Tonight's topic is entitled The Revealing. And we began at 7 p.m. Central. Don't forget, tomorrow night is 8 p.m. Central. It's not the same time. Tomorrow night's topic is entitled, It Did Not Come From God. Very profound. Where did this come from? We know the answer, but it's more informative than just saying it came from the devil. Then Friday night, you do not want to miss Friday night. It is entitled Mixed Messages. As I study into the movements of the occult and how Satan has for the last 6,000 years tested his theories and his methods, it is amazing how much he has hidden through mixed signals. Friday night, you really don't want to miss it. He has so put it together that it appears so Christian that it could be slid under your door under the guise of Christianity and be fully welcomed. You don't want to miss Friday night, mixed signals. Then on Saturday morning, Sabbath morning, as we would call it, is entitled The Walk of Fame. Why do people want the Walk of Fame so much? What is there about fame that will make a person walk away from eternal life? We're going to talk about the Walk of Fame, how it's being repackaged, and young people are dying today to be famous. Well, I want to just say this. God has not called us to be famous. God has called us to be faithful. Can you say amen? How did those two F's get switched? Famous and faithful. And then we're going to end with a very profound look into a term that is often associated with Christianity. When you meet somebody and you say, I'm born again, somebody else may say, well, I'm born again too. Well, Satan has an entirely different meaning for the phrase born again. A lot of people that are in the music industry, they say they pray. They say they have a relationship with God. But the question is, what God? And are they born again? And if they are born again, into what? And in their allegiance to whom? So really, invite your friends to watch this. I would say, I've done a lot of series here at 3ABN and around the world, but I would say this is probably the one that has really pulled the most out of me. It is one that has demanded me to take my time. It is one that, kind of like following a groundhog down his hole, you go down there and discover that you ask yourself, is there any way out? Because you discover that below the surface, there are so many different directions it can go. This subject has so many different directions. I've decided to choose as many as I could. And I'm going to make a statement that may hold me accountable. I'm also planning, by God's grace, to put this in a book, in a more lengthy process, because I know many of you may hear things and not be able to grasp it the first time through. But pray how that's going to happen. I don't even know where the resources are going to come from. But I believe in God has continually impressed me through many people to put this in a book. So I'll try to do my best to add to clarifying what we need to understand about these last days. But tonight, as I begin, I want to ask God to pray. I know that Pastor Jim Gilley has already prayed. But I need God to lead my mind. I need God to anoint my mind. I need God's direction. This is a very powerful and as well as very solemn message. So let's bow our heads together. Gracious Father in heaven, thank you so much for the opportunity. It's one that I don't want to waste on humanity. That means I don't want to waste it on what I'm able to do. Father, I want this to be under your control. I want to completely yield myself to the power that you desire to flow through me. Lord, tonight, as there are millions around the world on a different path other than the one that you have outlined, we pray that you'll guide their hearts and minds too through this presentation. And in the end, may we not forget Jesus. In your name I pray. Amen. When I was in the third grade in PS3 in New York City, if you're in Brooklyn, you know exactly where I'm talking about. It's right there on the corner of Franklin and Hancock, one block away from Franklin and Fulton Street, right there in Brooklyn, New York, still standing to this very day. I remember, Karen, going to an assembly. Remember those days in school when you went to assembly? It was once a week when all the school got together for assembly in the school auditorium. Well, they showed a movie that I had never seen before, and I have never seen it since. It was a short piece called The Pied Piper of Hamelin. And I never forget this because it was based on the subject of a legend concerning the departure or death of a great number of children from the town of Hamelin, Germany. This happened, according to the folklore, in the Middle Ages. But The Pied Piper, the reason why he was called the Pied Piper, it was a term meaning the colorfully dressed piper. His clothing was attractive also. He had two things that attracted the young people, the way he dressed and his music, adornment and the song he played. So he was called the Pied Piper of Hamelin, leading children away from Hamelin, Germany, and these children never returned. Years later, the story took on a different note. It is said that in the town of Hamelin, people were concerned about how to get rid of their rats, and so they hired the Pied Piper of Hamelin to play music. And the music was so enchanting that the rats followed them all the way down to the rivers of Germany, and they all drowned. But the true story is, when the citizenry of that town refused to pay the Pied Piper for his service of getting rid of the rats, he retaliated by using his abilities to lead their children away, turning his magic on the town's children, leading them away, and never again were these children seen by their parents in the town of Hamelin. Well, tonight, friends, let me just say it this way. He accomplished it by playing a song. He accomplished it by the way he presented himself. He played a song that they followed to their demise. The Pied Piper of Hamelin is alive today through none other than the working of Satan himself. And there is an entire industry playing the songs that will accomplish the same purpose that the Pied Piper of Hamelin played. Tonight I want to go to the screen and I want to give you the foundational scripture for tonight's presentation entitled The Revealing, the first in the five-part series on the revealing, on unclean spirits. Revelation 16, verse 13 and 14 reads as follows, and follow me as it appears in the graphic. I saw three unclean spirits like frogs coming out of the mouth of the dragon, out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. For they are the spirits of what, friends? Demons performing signs, which go out to the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty. Satan, right as we sit here tonight, and all of his spirits are joined together in gathering the world for this final battle, the battle of Armageddon, the great day of God Almighty. And so, friends, we are locked out. We are locked in an all-out war against the forces of darkness. Our children are becoming victims of the forces of hell. Their minds are stolen. Their conscience is under assault. There is an increase, if you notice it, in the wearing of black goth clothing, painting fingernails black. Wearing crosses is also becoming the focus of the day. We see a lot of music artists in the secular industries wearing a cross, and we say they must be Christians. There's a different message altogether behind that. I'll talk about that later on in the series. But you have to ask yourself the questions. What would make a young person get to the point where he can take the life of another individual and not even blink an eye? What do you think has contributed to school shootings, children that threaten their parents with bodily harm, and all-out defiance of authority, the entertainment, the music, the movie industry? How do you think the minds of the young are being hijacked? Where do you think the rise in promiscuity is coming from? And sexual perversion among the young, people calling themselves technical virgins to continue in a trek that is dishonoring to God? Where do you think all the self-abuse and cutting of one's flesh is coming from? There is an influence that is gripping the minds of the young, so much so that sometimes you may take your children somewhere to somebody's house, and when they get there, they say things like, I'm bored. Have you heard that before? We are living among one of the most bored generations, one of the most disconnected generations. As a matter of fact, many families get together for dinner at night, and their children sit at the table almost totally disconnected from their parents. Why? Because they spend their times with all the media devices, texting, and they live their days with the earphones plugged into their ears. And in their rooms, they have their own internet connection, and they have their own televisions. They are so shaped by what's coming from the outside that when their parents get together and talk with them, all they could say is, I'm bored. They are thrilled to death. Satan is behind that industry. Why do you think that the music industry has a primary attraction to the degradation of women, the fascination with vampires, and even in the afterlife? Where do you think that's coming from? Satan is packaging things that he has tested for 6,000 years. Now, let me ask you a question. How evil can you be if you had 6,000 years to develop and test every form of evil? How deceptive can you get if you've had 6,000 years of people of every class, of every educational level, of every walk of life, the famous and the poor, the wealthy, the highly educated, the professors of grand universities? How good would you be if there were your test subjects for 6,000 years, the minds of every person ever born? How good would you be today after 6,000 years? Well, friends, the best way I could describe this generation is found in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 4. And I want you to follow me very carefully, those of you who are watching, because tonight what I want to do, you notice it's called The Anchors of Truth. I want to begin by anchoring this series squarely on the Word of God. Can you say amen to that? We've got to have a foundation. It's got to be the Word of God. Paul the Apostle describes clearly what's happened to this generation. Follow me, 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 4. He says, speaking of the audience of the world today, he says, whose minds the God of what age? Of this age has blinded, who do not believe. And here's the reason why Satan has done this. Lest the light of the gospel of the glory of God, who is the image of God, should shine on them. Now, before we just attach that just to the world, think about the last church of the seven. One of the conditions is wretched, miserable, poor. Come on, say the next one. Blind. Satan has even found a way to blind the church. Not just the Seventh-day Adventist church. Every church. Because the onslaught is not against one church, but against every institution of morality. Now, bear with me if I get a little serious. I'll be a little lighthearted later on, but I got to get very serious in the very beginning. Is that all right? It would be one thing, though, if I was just talking about the world. But the church is under attack. Satan already has the world. He's already got those who don't want anything with Jesus. That's why today, when I go to churches, my wife and I travel all around the world. We go to different cultures and different societies and different countries. And one of the things that I've seen that has been so instrumental that Satan has accomplished very effectively is this. I've noticed that young people today don't dress like they have a connection with God. And the question is why? Where is the influence coming from? And I would suggest to you that Satan has worked on that for more than 6,000 years. Have you noticed the first thing that happened to Eve when she sinned is what happened? She lost the glorious covering of God, and she put on goat skins. The Bible says she put on a skirt, but the Lord had to cover her completely with his garment of righteousness. Even in that area, Satan has been effective, and he's continuing to be effective. But there's also something else happening in the world today, as well as in the church. There is a decline in interest in spiritual things among many in the church that can be traced back to the entertainers that they idolize. Think about that. They want to be like the people they see in movies. They want to be like Angelina Jolie and all these famous individuals that cover up their darkness with all these humanitarian acts of kindness. I can't be all bad, but that's the principle of the yin and the yang. Good and bad mixed together. Something that I do will attract you to be what I am going to be. That's happening in the church today. And if you realize that the world is a theater that has taken Satan 6,000 years to construct, and everyone's sitting down waiting for the show to begin. His blueprints include features that were light years ahead of its time. In other words, the strategies and tools that we are just beginning to notice were in production for thousands of years. You know, if I had 6,000 years to move a toothpick from that end of the stage to that end, I would suggest to you, you wouldn't even see it move from day to day. You wouldn't even notice it. That's how Satan works. He works imperceptibly, and sometimes we think our minds are completely guarded against what he does. But friends, only by the infilling of God's Spirit can we be safe. What do you say? It's not enough to be empty. We've got to be filled by the Spirit of God. If we're empty, if we just talk about the things that we've overcome and not been filled by God's Spirit, we are empty and Satan can come in with seven more demons worse than the first time around. But the real reason why there's such a high rate of satanic success can be found in the mission statement of the CEO of darkness. Look at Isaiah 14 and verse 14 and let's see what he says. Isaiah says it this way, Lucifer said, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be, what is the next word? Like the Most High. In other words, according to Satan's plan, the worship that belongs to God alone will be directed to Satan. If you've ever been to a concert before, a lot of people call it a musical concert. Well, Satan calls that a worship service. Don't we come to church to sing? And in some churches, they come and raise their hands and they get all excited about what is happening up front. Well, that is the opposite to the church. The church is where God is revealed. The concerts are where Satan is revealed. And people, you know what amazes me? In church, people look for the back row. In concerts, people rush to the front row. It shows you how even in the minds of some Christians, Satan has found some way to get an inroad. He said, I will be like the Most High. He didn't say I would be the Most High. He said I would be like the Most High. In other words, I will so closely connect what I do to Christianity that you get to the place where the godly and the profane are hardly able to be separated. And you'll see tomorrow night exactly how that's happening. Nowadays, you see the reason why Satan has so distorted what God has done. Satan cannot create. He cannot create human beings. But what he can do is corrupt what God has created. That's why sexual immorality is as rampant today in the church as it is in the world. In some walks of society, as a matter of fact, I did some studies on this and found out that in the Bible Belt, I want you to hear me, in the Bible Belt, homosexuality is as rampant as it is in some major cities, in major churches, among choir leaders and choir directors and people that sing godly songs. Promiscuity and darkness in areas of sexuality pervade the Christian community. How? Because Satan has found a way in there too. Even the methods that can be employed, every device that he can use, Satan has invented to lead humanity to be disloyal to God. You think about it. I remember one Sabbath, as I was pastoring a church in California, a young man was standing in the foyer, and he had his headsets in, and I thought, oh, great, listen to some Christian music, waiting for Sabbath school. Until I walked by him, and I thought it was so loud, it was about to blow my head off. And so I stopped and said, what are you listening to? It was some hip-hop rap music. And he's leaning against the wall in the foyer of the church, getting his mind ready for the sermon. Was that what he was doing? That's why they sit in church sometimes and fall asleep. Because the minds of so many are so distorted. It's like spider web after spider web after spider web after spider web. You can't even see the window on the other side. That's what the Bible means when it says the snare of the fowler. The bird can see the web that's being weaved for its destruction, so they fly right into it, the snare of the fowler. But his most effective method is one that he had from the day he was created. Listen to Ezekiel. Follow me carefully tonight. Look at the screen. Ezekiel chapter 28, verse 13 is where I'm headed. This is amazing. The method he uses today, he's had for thousands of years. The Bible says, you were in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was your covering. The sardis, topaz, and the diamond. The beryl, the onyx, and jasper. Sapphire, turquoise, and emerald with gold. And then it says, the workmanship of your timbrels, a musical instrument, and pipes, was prepared for you on the day you were created. Now get this very carefully. The name Lucifer was revoked, but his musical ability was not revoked. The name Lucifer was revoked, but that glorious outward adorning that he had was not revoked. He still has this glory. That's why Paul the Apostle says he appears as an angel of light. Ellen White tells us that when he came to Christ in the wilderness, he appeared as a beautiful prince. He didn't come as a red outfit, horn-dressing demon. That's what the world has done to make us think that Satan doesn't come in other forms and other fashions. And so he's now wrapped himself in various other ways through music and entertainment that seem on the surface innocent. I'm going to talk about that. Tonight is laying the foundation, but I don't want you to miss tomorrow night. You cannot afford to miss Friday night, and you don't want to miss anything after tonight. So if you're going to miss any night, it should have been tonight. An old evangelist trick, right? But the truth of the matter is, if you're going to miss any night, it should have been tonight. Tomorrow night, I'm going to say to you, hold on to your seats, put your seatbelts on, because we're going to begin to unpack this thing in very strategic ways. Remember, the name Lucifer means day or morning star, and Job talks about a time when the morning stars sang together. Have you ever thought about that? The one that played the music for the morning stars or the angels to sing together was none other than Lucifer. He's been a musician from the very beginning. The very talent that God had given to him, the very gift that God gave to him, when his heart was filled with pride for himself, he used for his own glory. I know a lot of friends raised in the church sing very well. As a matter of fact, a lot of the people in the gospel industry started in the church. I don't want to name the names, but let me just say Aretha Franklin, for example, Whitney Houston. A good friend of mine, I won't mention his name because we know each other so well. But there are a lot of people, they began in the church, but they're now singing for the world. The deceptive power of music is so amazing. For example, when you sing Amazing Grace, just recently my wife and I were in Zimbabwe, Africa, and they were singing hymns that we didn't know what they were saying, but you know how we understood it? By the music. They were saying something completely different. They were singing something in the Zimbabwean language, which we identified as Amazing Grace. So here we were in this big outside series of meetings, and we were singing Amazing Grace in English. They were singing Amazing Grace in their tongue. It was not what we were saying that connected us, but it was the music. Music crosses cultural lines. That's why when you go to music stores and entertainment places, you go to malls and stores and restaurants and every other public place, they have music playing because they know that music opens the door to influence you to do what you don't plan on doing. You ever go to Walmart and plan to get a loaf of bread and come out with $75 worth of stuff? Because you're walking through the mall and they have so studied the way you think. These are advertisers. They have so studied the way you think that you can't even stand at the checkout counter without being bombarded with magazines to one side and gum and M&Ms and all the other things to the next side and the latest news on whatever the gossip columns are and the astrology magazines. All around you, there's a voice calling out, "Don't forget me. What about me? Do you need some gum? What about mouthwash?" You can't even get past the checkout without these voices screaming at you. You almost have to go straight. And I'm sure many of you, just like me, you get to the counter and you don't really need it, but you just see it. This, maybe I need a stick of gum. Am I telling the truth? And if advertisers that are just about the same age as many of us can do that, what do you think Satan can do, who's been studying in the laboratory of the human mind for 6,000 years? He has seen what worked and what didn't work. They say one of the first steps of success is finding out what doesn't work and not do it. Satan's been doing that for 6,000 years. That's why when you go to sporting events and you hear dum, 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 what do you think? It's the last 2 minutes in the football game, last few seconds in the basketball game. Dun, 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 dun. Am I telling the truth? And the heart begins to pick up, and all of a sudden, but then all of you could leave that and cross the street and go to a funeral parlor and get sad in a matter of minutes. Why? The organ, the music changes the modes. When you go to the horse race, everybody stands up looking for their horse. The music. We don't even know what that sound means, do we? We just connect it to the horse races. But you go to the amusement parks. As soon as you walk into Disney World, it's a small world. And you go home humming that for the next 4 days. Because the music comes in without your permission. The cartoon days, remember the Flintstones, meet the Flintstones. You could even sing the words with me, but you would not remember the words without even the music. And then some of you wouldn't even know your ABCs unless it had music connected to it. Batman. Bam. And you could see it in your mind. And you could see Batman hitting the Joker and Robin flipping over the table. Am I telling the truth? And then all of a sudden, they're creepy and they're kooky, mysterious. Come on, who am I talking about? The Addams Family. There you go. You remember the tones. And by the way, many of you don't know it, but one of the key characters was Uncle Festus. I'll talk about this later on. Uncle Festus was an icon for a man that I'm going to talk about tomorrow night. Even in the Three Stooges, they had one of the curly, the guy that didn't have any hair. He was also an icon for this occultic symbol that I'm going to introduce to you tomorrow night. All interwoven in society. Many of us don't even know where it's coming from. But friends, you realize that music is an emotional control mechanism. It decides how you feel and what you think. It can awaken a lovesick feeling, or it can remind you of traumatic memories. I had a lady in one of my churches. Every Sabbath, I would end the sermon with the song, God be with you till we meet again. Beautiful hymn, am I right? One day she said, Pastor, please do not play that ever again. And I noticed, now, it's not rock music. That wasn't the reason. But she said to me, it reminds me of the day my husband left me. When he was walking out the door, he said to her, God be with you till we meet again. So even that song reminded her of one of the most traumatic experiences in her life. But that's what music can do. Satan knows that. Satan understands that. Music can put you into a trance. A music can frighten the wits out of you. What I was going to do, which I decided not to do because of the interest of time, I was going to show you two simple video clips, both of them pictures of an ocean. I'm not going to do that. But you know, you hear an ocean and you hear a soft piano playing in the background and all of a sudden you get relaxed. But you see the same ocean scene and all of a sudden you hear dun, 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 dun. You think a shark is going to come out of the water. Same ocean, nothing's changed. If you go to the beach and somebody in the background plays dun, 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 dun. You won't even go in the water. Am I telling you the truth? Because all of a sudden you remember the movie Jaws. It's not the, you don't even know what the shark looks like, but the movie unlocks fear in your life. You pack up your bathing suit and you head back home because the music has done that. Satan knows how to do it. But listen to what Ellen White says. This is an amazing quotation from the book Adventist Home. I thought this was fitting for the topic tonight to lay the foundation. Listen to what she says. Adventist Home, page 407, paragraph 3. She says, I feel alarmed as I witness everywhere the frivolity of young men and young women who profess to believe the truth. God does not seem to be in their thoughts. Their minds are filled with what? Nonsense. Their conversation is only empty, vain talk. They have a keen ear for music. Listen to this. And Satan knows what organs to excite, to animate and engross, and charm the mind so that Christ is not desired. You see, what happened is, by entertaining what Satan said, Eve was charmed away. This is what Ellen White says. Eve was charmed away from obedience. How was she charmed? By the lyrics / words that Satan chose. Today, if you take the music away, it's words. If you add music to it, it's now lyrics. But it's the very same thing. Satan has added music to words. We call it lyrics. And today, he's wrapped his messages in songs on CDs, songs and movies. And brethren, I am going to so unwrap this starting tomorrow night that I encourage you to invite somebody else to sit down and watch this with you, because I'm literally going to take off tomorrow night. I remember working in New York City for a paid advertising agency. And I remember when the Super Bowl was coming around, advertisers paid millions of dollars for a 15 to 30 second slot. You know why? Because that's all the time they needed to get you to associate their product with the music that they played in the background. Just 15 seconds. And you walk into the store. Now, and the other thing is, what on earth does a woman have to do with a John Deere tractor? Come on, somebody help me. Now, in Southern Illinois, maybe a whole lot, okay? But Satan has found the art of getting you to think longer than you need to on things that you don't even need to consider. He's done that strategically. And so they pay $2 million, $3 million so that a particular product can be associated with a particular song, and you go in the store, and the moment you see that product, you remember the song. That's why sometimes we wonder why we think the way we do. The lyrics of the song, introduced into the mind, is the door that opens up the mind. Follow me carefully. The lyrics develop the thoughts. The thoughts shape the individual. So people will say things nowadays, or think things nowadays. I used to be in the disc jockey industry. I was a partier, believe me, partier personified. I would be in the party so long sometimes I could fall asleep in front of a loud speaker because my mind was so desensitized to what was happening around me. And nowadays you go down the street in some of these cities and you pull up next to a car and you can't wait till the light turns green because your car is about to be blown apart by the speakers in the other guy's car. And you wonder how he's still alive. You know what I'm talking about? The bass is so low that I'm thinking. I've also followed a study that says a lot of young people below the age of 20 years old are having hearing issues. There are some cases where some young people came to emergency rooms with their ears bleeding because of the depth and the sub-bass that was in the backseat of somebody's car that they were driving in. Bleeding ears. But there's another side to that. Some young people can hear things that grown-ups cannot hear. Ringtones that they cannot hear. Ringtones that are too high for the older folk to hear. And so they set their phones when they go to school on this ringtone that the teacher can't hear, but the students can hear it. Well, what you don't know is in the very music that some of us listen to, in the very music that many young people buy, listen to me very carefully, and I'll talk about this and I'll show you the various ways this is actually happening. There are frequencies that are embedded in many of the songs that you can audibly hear, but those frequencies that you cannot hear, the mind can hear it. Following those frequencies are suggestive words in the lyrics that will break down your resistance to do the things that you would never, ever think of doing normally. It's called mind control. I'm going to talk about that, how these tactics of mind control have been assimilated into every facet of the industry, even in churches. It's amazing how it's happening. But when you go back to it, you understand what the wise man said when he wrote in Proverbs 23, verse 7. Look at this very short text, and I want you to read this with me. If you follow me, just say it in your home. Here's what the Bible says. For as he thinks in his heart, what does it say? So is he. So let's go backward. A person becomes what they think. Your thought determines who the person is. So you mean to tell me that you could listen to worldly stuff 6 days a week and be a Christian on the Sabbath? You mean to tell me that you could listen to music that doesn't honor God and all of a sudden want to honor God when you come to church? No, you can't. Some people go to sleep with music. As a matter of fact, sometimes I remember going to work when I used to work in the Wall Street area and I would take the train to work in New York City. I would always turn the radio on in the morning. And do you know the last song I heard was the one I hummed all day long? You know what I'm talking about? That's why it's even important, if you're going to choose music to wake up by, choose music that you don't mind humming when you get to work. Go to work singing songs like I'm Saving All My Love for You and You're Married. Whitney Houston, Billy Paul. A lot of these songs are put to such beautiful tones and such beautiful music that it doesn't even catch your attention until you realize what you're saying. But the music opens the door and you start singing songs and all of a sudden you realize you're talking about killing somebody, promiscuity, lying. You know, you've got your family and they need you there, as Whitney Houston sang. But I try to resist being last on your list, but no other man can do. She's talking about somebody married to another woman. And we go around saving all my love. The music get you to say what you would not normally say under well-thought-out circumstances. But what you have to keep in mind is that the tools and the methods of assault were first used on perfect angels. But what was the result? Look at Revelation 12 and verse 4. Tonight, I say again, is the night to base everything on the Bible. Revelation 12 verse 4 says, his tail drew a what? Third of the stars of heaven and threw them to the earth. Satan tried it out first on his own friends. He tried it out on the people that he worked with. hey, let me see if it's going to work. And he went from angel to angel. And when he was done, one third of the angels were expelled from heaven because Satan tried out something that worked. He said, hey, it works. So he got down to the Garden of Eden. That's why when you look about these, his tail drew a third of the stars of heaven. When you think about that word stars, the entertainment industry is full of stars. Matter of fact, the best you can get is a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame, where dogs can walk past and defecate and people spit on and the rain falls on and cigar butts are crushed on. That's not the star I want. I want a star in heaven. What about you? But the best the world can give you is a star on the street somewhere. Stars. The very thing that Satan caused to be kicked out of heaven is the very thing he offers you now. You want to be a star? It doesn't mean anything, because if you got kicked out of heaven and you can't go back in being a star, what good is it? Then he tried that on two perfect individuals. Follow the thought. Perfect angels, they fell. Perfect individuals, what happened to them? They fell. Romans 3, verse 23 says, for all have sinned and do what? Fall short of the glory of God. When you follow the manifesto of the occult movement, you find out that it was born in Eden. It was born in the garden. It was first tried out in a perfect environment. If it could work in heaven, can it work on earth? Of course it can. An imperfect, in every respect, environment, but a being that has not forgotten how to use his tools. That's why at the top of the list of the methods used by the occult movement is mental programming and hidden attacks. You see, by entertaining what Satan said, Eve was, and get this now, a different approach to this, Eve was programmed to think opposite to what she knew was right. And he did that by not being honest. And by the way, the word occult, which I'm going to talk about a whole lot starting tomorrow night. Occult is the Latin word for occultus, meaning to conceal, to hide, or simply eclipse. Have you heard that term before somewhere? There's a whole new series now called Eclipse about vampires. What's eclipsed? Satan. You see all these young, beautiful ladies and young chiseled guys, and you want to be like them, stars. But get this, friend, the truth has been eclipsed. Vampires, and there are a lot of people nowadays, even young people, talking about experimenting, having friends. You know, if I drink your blood, you drink my blood. We are vampire friends. It's happening today. Who's molding their minds? Not God. He shed his blood. We don't have to shed ours. What do you say? Something else. How effective was Satan's assault against Eve? Notice what she says in Genesis 3 and verse 13. Here's her testimony. This is what a perfect woman said. She said, the woman said, the serpent deceived me, and what did I do? And I ate. And Revelation continues, Revelation 12 and verse 9. He did it on the woman then, and led Adam and Eve down the wrong path. Adam was one that went in with his eyes wide open. Eve also chose to go down the path of disobedience. But here's the plan he has for today. Revelation 12 and verse 9. So the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old called the devil and Satan, who deceives how much of the world? The whole world. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And then you continue following whether or not it's working. One of the first signs Jesus warned against as it pertains to the end. Now, we had a lot of earthquakes. New Zealand just recently. Now this one in Japan, a terrible earthquake. Keep praying for them. But that's not what Jesus warned about when it pertained to the end. In Matthew 24, verse 3 and 4, they came to Jesus and said to him, what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? And Jesus said to his disciples, what did he say? Take heed that no one, what? Deceives you. We are living in the age of deception. And by the way, when I look at this, friends, I'm beginning to believe that people like to be deceived. I mean, how many movies have you seen an actor killed in this one? He's in another one. He get killed in that one. He's in another one. We have been so molded by things that are not real that we are getting prepared for the most unreal, real thing that will ever occur to humanity. The appearing of the false Christ. Unreal in the sense that he's not really Christ, but real in the sense that it is a grand illusion. We are so molded by things that are not real that we don't even move with sympathy when we hear, 30,000 people died in this recent earthquake. We say, oh, that's so sad, and we go on like nothing has happened. Because we see earthquakes all around us. We hear about people being shot, but we think about gangster rap, where shooting and killing is glorified. I'll talk about that. The hip-hop industry and the rock industry. I'll talk about that starting tomorrow night. You see, Satan has so worked his art that deception today is at an all-time high. Well, here's some questions as I begin to wind down for tonight. Three questions. What did Satan promise Eve? In other words, where did he meet her? He met her at the tree of the knowledge of what? Good and evil. Get this. When good and evil are at the very same intersection and both are used at the very same time, that's the highest form of deception. Because something is true about it, but something is false about it. Evil and good merge together. It's blended. That's what's called the amalgamation of good and evil. It brings out one product, an alloy really called deception. What did he promise? Follow this carefully because this lays the foundation. He said to Eve, your eyes will be what? Opened. In other words, he promised Eve enlightenment. He said to her, you will see more than God permits. Now get this. How many things have you seen that you wish you never saw? Raise your hands. You can't get it out of your mind. That's one of the reasons why my wife and I have completely, we don't watch those scary movies. You know why? Because we live in the country. And there's enough dark outside. Amen, somebody. But if you put that stuff in your mind, it becomes your own worst enemy. You are molded in the wrong direction. There's something else he did. And by the way, when it talks about your eyes will be open, Satan has built an entire industry on this, an industry of illumination called the Illuminati. And something else that you may not have heard about before, he is also based in industry on something called the third eye. You got two. He added one more. We'll talk about that as the series continues to progress. But he also promised something else to Eve. He said, you will be like God. He didn't say you will be God. He said, you'll be like God. In other words, instead of only God being worshipped, I'll also work it out that people will worship you. And you can't convince me that actors are not being worshipped and music icons are not being worshipped. What will take a person to crying to the point where they lose consciousness just by seeing somebody step out on a stage? That's the lowest form of worship. Worshipping a man, worshipping a single woman, worshipping an icon. One woman could stand in a stadium of 60,000 people and everybody's falling out, screaming her name, breaking their necks to get to the front of the line. Why? Because Satan has so fixed it that not God, but you, that's what he said to Eve, you'll be like God. You'll be the one that's being worshipped. And Matthew makes it clear. He even promised this to God, but I want you to read this. Look at what he promised to Jesus. Matthew 4, verse 8 and 9. Matthew 4, verse 8 and 9. The reason why rich people and famous people are being worshipped is right here in this text. He says about Jesus, again, the devil took him up on an exceedingly high mountain. What kind of mountain, friends? Exceedingly high. I've hit the high times. I've hit the high life. I'm living high. I'm living high on the hog. All these terms, that's what the devil's all about. He wants you to live high. He wants you to get high. Exceedingly high mountain, and showed him how many of the kingdoms, all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. Man, I wish I was that wealthy. That's what we say. And he said to Jesus and to him, all these things I will give you, and here's the hook, if you fall down and say it with me, and worship me. You cannot be in that industry without worshiping the devil. It is impossible. Those are his terms. I'll give it to you. Ah, but here's the clause. You got to worship me. But the Lord warned in Deuteronomy 11, verse 16, be careful. Look at this text. Be careful, or you will be enticed to turn away and worship other gods and bow down to them. That's what he wants to do. I told you about that one time. I sat back and I was looking at all these people that sing in the music industry. And there was a time that God had to slap me on my forehead. Jim, I looked out there and I said, man, I sing better than he does. I can make more money than he can. And I realized, you know what? What does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and do what? Loses his soul. So I said, you know what? I'd rather sing for Jesus so that one day I'll be able to sing not just on earth, but in every universe known to humanity. I don't want this tiny stage called Earth. I want to be able to sing in galaxies beyond the human thought. That's the real stage, not this little tiny planet. That's what Satan, he can only give you this, a little tiny speck and a speck on a speck. But God wants to give us everything. Why follow his design? You have to keep this picture in mind. There are many gods in the world today. And the reason why there are so many that we don't see is because they are all occult-based. Now get this, I'm going to go through this very quickly. The many faces of occultism, magic, astrology, any system claiming to use knowledge as a secret or supernatural powers or supernatural agencies. Occultism is based on going beyond the range of ordinary knowledge or understanding, things that are mysterious. That's why young people like that. When they go to the store and buy clothing, right at the checkout counter in many of the stores for girls, there are books on how to cast spells, how to get somebody else's boyfriend. And they buy all these books. Look at Barnes & Noble's bookstores have a whole section on how to cast spells. And young people buy that stuff. It's fascinating. The Ouija board, it seems like it's just another game, but it's the open doorway to meeting Satan himself. Fascination. Then there are other things, the secret societies, things disclosed or communicated only to those who are a part of the very same movement, hidden from view, or sometimes hidden in plain sight, Yvonne. It's hidden to those who are misinformed. Then to eclipse or block or shut off from view. In the Garden of Eden, that's what worked. Satan hid from Eve the truth about her situation. He promised her eyesight when he was about to take her eyesight away. Blinded by the light. You heard that phrase before? Satan was involved in that. And through the entertainment industry, Satan is hiding the true effects of the indulgence while at the same time promising enhanced eyesight. You heard the phrase before, what you see is what you get? Have you heard that before? Well, let me tell you one that's really true. That's not the truth. What you see is not what you get. What you don't see is what you get. How many people would have chosen to smoke if they knew that one puff would have killed them? They didn't see the drugs laced in it. How many people would have chosen promiscuity if they knew that one act would have led them down the road to HIV and then dying eventually? They didn't see that. What you don't see, when it leads you on a path that's not in harmony with God, it's a path that is. What you don't see is what you get. Then there's something else I'll reveal during the series. God warned Adam and Eve about the dangers of leaving the right path. Well, in occultism, there's something called the left path. We'll talk about that. The left path? Well, yeah, there are two paths. There's one on the left and one on the right. Where are the goats going to be? On the left. Where are the sheep going to be? Say it. On the right. So there are two paths. Goat on the left. Goat, the symbol, Satan's symbol. Goat, you know why it's a goat? You know what a goat does? It butts. I would serve God, but. I'd believe that, but. Satan is on that path because everything that God introduced to him said, I'd do that, but. I want to be my own boss. I would do that, but I have a different way. That's why it's the goat path. We'll talk about Baphomet and where he fits into that, why this goat is all a part of this whole movement of the occult. And then we'll also talk about how death is looked at as something that is to be desired. To die is a terrible thing, but not the way that the occult industry has designed it. They make death the entrance into a different life. Not into the afterlife like some people teach, like going to heaven. They're talking about a different life altogether. We'll talk about how they've done that. That's what he said to Eve. He said to her, you will not surely die. Genesis 3 and verse, you won't really die. So nowadays people are dying to who they used to be, so they could become somebody else. Because Eve didn't die right away that day. She eventually died physically, but she became somebody other than God had created her to be. That's what's happening today. People are becoming other than what God created them to be. And now our last text for the night. What is Satan's plan for this last generation? Here it is. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 to 7. My final text. But know this, that in the last days, what type of times? Perilous times will come. And here's the entire outline for the last days. Satan put this together. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, proud, boasters, blasphemers, disobedient to parents. Why? Unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control. Have you been to a party lately? Brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a what, friends? form of godliness, but denying its power. There's no Holy Spirit in it. And from such, God warns, turn away. For of this sort, and this is so amazing nowadays, for of this sort are those who creep into households and make captives of gullible, or as the King James Version says, silly women, loaded down with sins, led away by various lusts. The dark pornographic industry is what is talked about here. Always learning, never able to come to the what? Knowledge of the truth. Well, let me end with a story. Let me encourage you, tomorrow night, the topic, It Did Not Come From God, is going to be amazingly eye-opening. We know where it came from, but I'll be specific about where it came from. When I worked at the Bank of America in New York City many years ago, and this has to do with how my eyes have been opened, I didn't spend all my time studying counterfeit money. I spent my time studying real money. Becoming familiar with all the symbols, all the things to look for, to make sure that when the counterfeit showed up, I'd be able to spot it right away. What I've done in this series, I've been preparing for this series for the last 24 years of pastoral ministry, studying so closely the truth of God's Word that God has now opened mine eyes to be able to disclose to you what the counterfeits are. So as we look forward to the coming of our Lord, here's the question. As we reveal what the devil has done, I don't want you to forget that if you've already had a glimpse of Jesus, you'll be able to see the devil coming 10 miles away. Tonight, we've got to look so closely at Jesus that we see deception coming from a far distance away. Let us pray. Gracious Father in heaven, thank you so much for the truth of your word. Thank you for giving us the opportunity tonight to lay the scriptural foundation for what's coming after. Tomorrow night, it did not come from God. Friday night, mixed signals. Heavenly Father, give us wisdom to continue following through. This is only one out of five meetings. Help us to stick to it to the very end. There's a blessing for us all, and we pray this in Jesus' precious name. Friends, we look forward to seeing you again. Invite your friends. Invite your family, sit down for God. God has a message for every one of us as we get ready for the coming of our Lord.